Mas
Good evening and welcome to the Village of Carmack's regular council meeting on Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. I'd like to respectfully acknowledge we are meeting on the traditional territory of Little Sammy Carmack's First Nation. This is the agenda 25-12. Call the meeting to order at 7 o'clock. Motion for adoption of the agenda, please.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda as presented. Second.
Thank you, Chair. All in favor?
Okay.
Adoption of the minutes of the regular meeting of June 3rd, 2025. The motion, please.
No motion.
I just noticed the one thing on the AYC. It says Dora serves as a board member. She's on the executive, and then I'm the board member.
Okay.
Even though I had to miss since to me.
You have a seconder.
I'll second that.
Okay, then you have an amendment to.
Yeah, just that Dora serves as on the executive. AYC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other amendments? All those in favor? Thank you. AYC, Bonnie, Dixon, and Jordan, welcome. You have a floor.
Do you mind this sitting here?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I can do that.
And that's it.
Thanks for having us.
Well, yeah, just go ahead and.
Oh, okay. So, we're mostly here just because we're trying to make it every member municipality this once a year, myself, the president, and Bonnie is the executive director. Jordan's with us today because we have contracted Elevator UConn to help us out with some elections readiness materials. So he's going to go over that. But as for us, we're mostly just here to listen and learn. So thanks for letting us sit in. And yeah, nice to see you.
Well, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thanks. Thank you, Lauren. President Hanchar, appreciate that. Working with AYC over the last few months under election readiness, and some of the work we're doing there is to develop some policy positions. This was previously done in 2022 as well, and updating it, I guess, for 2025, really targeting the territorial election. Basically, from AYC's perspective, they want to ensure that their memberships issues are represented fairly, like within the organization, and that they have kind of good marching orders, good context, and that kind of thing. And so really, that's what I'm working on that with here today, to just introduce this initiative to council, get some initial feedback, and then we'll follow up later on with a request for response. So kind of too much to cover today because there's like six different policies and they go into a bunch of different stuff. But I'll give you guys the highlights, and then yeah, we'll follow up with a report, and then just asking for your feedback and just making sure that it reflects your guys' priorities, concerns, all that kind of good stuff. If that makes sense.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So excuse me. There's six different policy positions that we're working on. Infrastructure investment, financial sustainability, emergency preparedness, community safety, climate change, and affordable housing. Basically, what we've developed so far as a framework for these discussions. So we've kind of provided a statement about these various topics, and we want to ensure that statement reflects I think, again, your guys' concerns, priorities, and that type of thing. One thing we've done is try to kind of closely align it to The work that FCM is doing, because they're already talking a lot about these issues, and that we, I think, you know, and I love to hear you guys' feedback. Like, I think one of the main issues that we'll be facing as we move forward under this new Liberal government and then the territorial election is COVID funding. Everybody has a lot of priorities. You know, that's no different than it was. But something that we've noticed and AYC has noticed is that, you know, some areas of funding have kind of like dried up recently, particularly around like infrastructure funds and that kind of thing. And there's no new kind of announced programs. And so we're trying to align ourselves with FCM so that if money does flow from different organizations, that we're in a good, AYC is in a good position and our member municipalities are in a good position. And the priorities that we have and you guys have would be already aligned. And so we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'll just go through the structure of the reports and you guys will have a chance to read them and provide your feedback. But with relation to infrastructure and they're kind of all formatted the same way, we give a statement about the current state of the topic, provide a little bit more context of why it's a unique challenge for UConn in the north and some of the important factors that influence like infrastructure in the north, like climate change, permafrost, capacity within our member organizations, that type of thing. And what AYC's kind of position on these topics is as well. And so, you know, we would say, well, we support like sustainable infrastructure funding, of course, but, you know, maybe something that you guys might want is some of like more flexibility or something like that, for example. That's the kind of feedback we'd be looking for from you guys to say like, yeah, like this is great, you know, because the challenges in between communities are going to be very similar, right? Everybody's dealing with infrastructure and capacity and all that kind of thing. But we want to make sure that CarMax's specific challenges are represented. And then we go into the position of AYC. So what AYC kind of supports and how they're approaching this issue. And then we go into some actions and recommendations about some of the things that AYC could be working on or different things they could be advocating for or lobbying for with different orders of government on behalf of the membership. And we have some ideas here and those will be, we want your feedback on those as well, to make sure that if you guys have some ideas or something needs to be changed with wording, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we want it also to align, I guess, like strategically. So wanted to align to your guys' OCP strategic plans, like all that kind of stuff to make sure it's supporting that. And really like with the feedback of, and so this will go back to a policy election readiness committee that we're working with at AYC. They'll basically take all the feedback, we'll polish up these policy positions, and then we'll adopt them, or AYC will adopt them through their process. And basically that's what they'll be working on for you guys over the next little. So it's a bit of a different approach. I'm not sure how many times you guys have taken kind of this approach to, I know you did it once in 2022, and I think it was pretty successful. Like at that time in 2022, there was some of the issues were like being kind of stronger advocates for communities and that kind of thing. And then subsequently to that, you saw AYC in the news a lot. Some may say too much, but, you know, but they were certainly like being like out there and like very visible. And that came through this policy work that we did, right? And the membership saying like, we need you guys to be out there more, like that kind of thing. You know, we really, like, I think the benefit to doing this work now before the election is we can start to present some of these issues as Lauren and Bonnie have their meetings with different stakeholders in the government and that kind of thing. And we're forming our opinions on these issues. Like we can really start to prime the pump, so to speak. I think it's a good opportunity for people who are running in the election to make soft commitments and that type of thing. And so understand like it's summer, but we'd really be hoping to wrap up this work like towards the end of the summer, like early September, something like that. And like the elections readiness committee sent this in a letter format to Brendan Hanley and other candidates. But Brendan Hanley was elected, and he got us back like a ton of stuff that he was working on that we can point to say like, hey, like, so we were going to do this and that, and like, where it's at. So that's really what we're looking for. And we have, I guess, some serious issues, particularly around like that funding and capacity piece, pretty much in every community. And, you know, we don't really have a good grip on like kind of where we stand in some of these areas. And so, and I guess that's basically it. So we want to provide these to you, council. We'll ask for it to be on the agenda at a future meeting. Council can read these, provide their feedback, and we'll ask for a formal response from the town of CarMax. We'll incorporate your feedback into our discussions with the election readiness committee, and then hopefully those will be ready for adoption by September.
Ideally. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy to, I just realized you have a lot on your agenda. Like, I'm happy to go through more details or any of the policies, but I can kind of just leave it at that because I don't want to, it's too much to go over in like one at this presentation. Yeah.
Definitely. So if you send it over and we
can
go over it in one meeting. And
yeah, but no, you guys have a good understanding of like what we're trying to do, what we're wanting from you guys. And so when you see this, it won't kind of be out of the ether, and we just wanted to come and make that present, introduce this project to you guys.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there any questions I can answer, or Lord or Bonnie can answer at this point, or
any counselors? Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
So you're gonna drive them back right away?
No, well, I'm gonna take a picture of them out here.
Yeah, we're gonna go get friends. Yeah, we're going to mail.
Bring her cinnamon bun.
Yeah. Hi.
I saw some guy fill the potholes, and I try to run him off.
Sorry, I moved.
No, wait until he's back for work
tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. Maybe in the morning time, you have a better chance to get him.
All right.
Yeah, and I think, like, just in closing, I'll just say, like, this is, you know, I obviously don't work for AYC. I'm just being contracted, but it was really important to get out here, get some FaceTime with you guys, and just travel to your community. And like, you know, even we could have done this by phone or Zoom, but we really wanted to see you. Yeah. Just be like, we're here, we're working for you guys. And, you know, here, if there's anything, you know, that needs addressing, like just a phone call away. And I think within this policy work that when we have good, strong, clear positions, like AYC can be in a really good place to advocate for you guys. And so that's like some value that they hope to provide as we.
Like I said, thank you, President Hanser.
We just have worked on them.
Yeah, I've been working for a while too.
Yeah, awesome.
Right on. Thank you. We'll see Jane and Mark come on.
It's so cute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So crazy.
Yeah, that's okay. That's
Shane.
So,
well, welcome Jane and Mark. Yeah.
All right. We're up on us. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Oh, come on. Get right now. Come on down.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Looks like we're turning that one over. I think we'll just take a cue from your first delegates and keep it short and sweet. We do have an expanded presentation we can send to you afterwards. I think you had a chance perhaps to review.
Yes, we did.
The presentation that was given at the public meeting a few weeks ago.
If you haven't, we can.
Okay, yeah, sure. I have that one in your package on Friday. You've all seen me recently, but I think some of you probably haven't met my partner in crime here.
I think I
need. Yeah. Councillor Hanson.
You were at that meeting. Yeah. That's right.
Different
town.
Yeah.
It's
along the corridor, I think.
Yeah, OCP.
Yeah.
Working on OCP.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so it's nice to have Mark here with me now to be talking about this. And yeah, it was December, I believe, that I was last year talking about the amendments that we're going to go forward to CMHC. The good news is they went in. The bad news is it's almost July and we still don't have confirmation of the amendments, but it's looking reasonably good, would you say, Chantal? Reasonably good?
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the one of the amended initiatives that I presented to you back in December was the idea of development incentives, which have been adopted by many other of the municipalities that have received PATH funding. And we thought that that was an obvious missing piece for this one. So what Mark and I have done to date is Mark had a sort of a jurisdictional scan through what other municipalities have been offering for housing incentives. There have been some new things in the mix because of PATH funding. So Haines Junction is a good example of PATH. What was that one again? It was
has two fairly simple, straightforward cash grant programs. One designed more towards bigger projects, multi-unit projects, one that's built towards young people, actually, that they chose as a priority in Haines Junction that they saw as sort of difficult for young people to get reestablished, young people leaving the community. So they had a grant program that's focused, didn't have to be a rental. Many of these incentives are often based around rentals. This is like if you're under 35, as they define as young, you can just get money to build your own home for yourself. Right? It doesn't have to be rent to rent to somebody. So again, looking to just offset that cost of construction in our communities outside of Whitehorse being so high.
Another good example of sort of a half-funded incentives program is Watson Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan and Elevator Yukon have been helping the town of Watson Lake with that. And that has been a $40,000 cash grant for missing middle housing. I feel I'm going to get it wrong, and Jordan's just going to be, what is she talking about? But $40,000 cash grants has been very successful. They've had a really high uptake. Of course, Whitehorse has a much more elaborate incentive system, taxation involved, same with Dawson City to some extent, reflecting obviously the more sophisticated development arena in both of those municipalities. So Mark and I came, but I guess it was almost 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago for a public meeting. We had a small turnout, but it was good discussion. And we asked people basically, what are the barriers? What's happening in CarMax that's preventing new housing? All of the things that I'm sure you have experienced personally or heard many, many times. Land constraints, expensive building costs, stringent building codes, all of those types of barriers. And of course, here, without a local construction community, local contractors, all of those things, they're just even further exacerbated. So compared to a Watson Lake or a Haines Junction, probably. So we heard a lot about those barriers. Mark sort of went through the suite of other municipal incentives example, and we basically put it out to the crowd. What do you think? What do you think would work here in CarMax? And I think we heard a pretty resounding Watson Lake, that would work here. Simple, cash, get some units out on the market. And certainly there was some interest maybe in some taxation help relief with things like tipping fees at the landfill, minor things like that. But it was, I think we heard clearly loud and clear, simple,
significant,
a fair bit of.
We'll waive your tipping fees. About $2 a bag.
Yeah.
Construction. Construction tipping fees.
Construction tipping fees.
Lots of length there.
Yeah. We also had a survey out for, I guess, the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We got 13 surveys in. The results were, I'm still trying to parse it together, and I think maybe the key takeaways was a strong interest in incentives to build single-family dwellings that would be occupied by the property owner. There was only a bit of interest in building rental housing, so it sort of tells you where people are at and what their level of interest is or what's motivating them. In terms of barriers, financial was a big one, obviously. There was also a few comments about not knowing even where to start, just not understanding the development process or how to get going.
Okay.
I did have somebody reach out to me just the other day, not resident, but a sibling is, property. There might be a few of these examples. There's an existing dwelling on the property. It's not suitable, needs to be removed. They're interested in potentially developing it. There were a few of those sorts of stories I could glean from the surveys as well.
Anyhow, so that's what we heard in terms of feedback from the surveys.
Will you be extending the survey? You thought you mentioned that.
We did. Yeah, I mean, technically it's still open.
Okay.
But I think for the purposes of what we wanted to put it out for,
yeah.
I think we have heard what we're likely to hear. I think the takeaways from the survey responses is unsophisticated development community, mostly focused on, you know, meeting their own needs. And that's great. So that tells us that we might want to take a different approach, say, versus a white horse where it's almost all about rental suites.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just about getting housing going, right? In CarMax, perhaps that seems to be the need. So Mark and I sort of pulled all these results together. And I think the things that are on our mind and that we think by extension should probably be on your minds as council, I mean, to make decisions about what to do and how. You know that the timing window was already small and it's just getting smaller. There is some funding uncertainty. So what we do know now, part of what I spoke to you about in December was the housing target that went along with the original PRAF application was set at 72 units for 3 years. So astronomically high.
Mm-hmm.
We learned from our most recent call with the CMHC folks that they're not going to be changing that target. Mm-hmm. So what they will not tell us is what that means. So I think just because we're in a cone of, well, we're not in silence, is publicly recorded, but I think we can probably imagine that that 72 target might not be met. And so there's no clear guidance on what that will be. What they did tell us is if you're making good progress on the action plan and we're seeing progress on the building permits, we'll do our best. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think what you have control over is action plan, for sure. And there's obviously going to be an incentive for council to try to incent as many units to achieve as close to that target as possible, knowing that it's still going to be a big stretch. So that's what you're dealing with. So there is a very real risk of at least 1 year of funding probably being lost.
What's our number now?
There's been two installments of 580,000.
591.
591. Okay.
And how many units have we already managed?
That's what I was wondering.
First year was good. 16 building permits. And it's building permits that count, not development permits. Yeah. So it's got to get all the way to YG.
So 16?
Yeah, 16. So there's
a permit issued, not buildings getting built.
Exactly.
There are not 56 more to go.
You could just get all your friends to get some building permits.
But there's some real truth to that, Corey, like in terms of how council might want to strategically approach this. It is the permits that count. So there's this timing window issue. There's this funding uncertainty issue. And then there's also this issue of these potentially larger projects being out there, but being in fairly early stages of development. And having much more complex needs, and probably the best example is, Mark, if you kind of give the short and sweet on your conversation with CarMax.
Yeah, well, I believe, I'm not sure whether it was with this council or previous council, or the CarMax Development Corporation has already approached and had discussions here with the municipality, with the village,
yes,
around the site behind the two current lot 15, I think it is, behind the two sixplexes.
Yes.
So they're still working, you know, the conversation we had, they're still working through those very long pre-development complicated stages with what's a very large development. I'm not sure if they discussed the full number of units, but it's a lot, up to 32 units, right? Which is a big, massive change to this profile that we're looking at here, right? So there's a lot of sort of eggs in that basket, shall we say, you know, in terms of mutual interest, right, in helping, like, the major projects like that, and one or two others that might be a little bit smaller, but still multi-unit developments going ahead, right? They can, the municipality, developing those partnerships, really trying to understand what role could potentially play with some of this funding and incentives, right? Like to help those projects just leap that hurdle, those hurdles in this time period, right? That there's a very strong, not to mention the actual housing that we hope for, yeah. Because we get a little obsessed here about just getting grabbing funding, but of course there's real homes for real people that live here, right? Like in, potentially there, right? Like, so there's a big sort of, you know, everybody has a lot of toe interest there, right? Like, yeah. Type of thing to kind of work together. Say, if anyone's, if you're familiar with these kind of, say, these projects, right, there's a lot, say, there could be various different engineering things that need to take place, conversations around connections to, you know, to sewer systems, lagoons, treatment plants, timing of a whole range of different things here, right, that we really encourage around these major projects, good conversations between community partners that are really pragmatically focused, all right? Like sometimes we build a lot of policy that they think that I think in communities like this where you've got one or two big projects, everyone's got to just work together to make them happen, right? And in as opposed to just like thinking this is high level theoretically, if we do this policy, this should happen. Not necessarily good to get to the nitty-gritty of it with partners and communities. So hence we're talking about, I'm not sure James, about going to potentially a couple of different streams of incentive packages targeted at two quite different types of project.
Okay. I think basically if we go kind of back high level, Mark's going to walk you through sort of the more granular level of what this could look like. But all of those things combined, this is our best advice to you. This really comes down to four things. One, act fast. Two, so don't reinvent the wheel. Let's build on success. Watson Lake is working. There's lots to build on there and maybe apply to CarMax. The third we feel is like keep it simple, but maintain flexibility. So simple in terms of what happens with individual property owners that are definitely less sophisticated on the development side of things. Make it as simple and as straightforward as possible for them. But provide a level of customization or flexibility with the bigger players, the major projects that have the more complex and yet to be defined needs. We just don't know exactly what those are right now. So that works against our acting fast. And then the fourth, make it count. So set the incentives in a manner that people are going to have a hard time not paying attention and are hopefully taking that next step forward and getting involved. So those four things kind of lead, and a really helpful conversation that I had with Mr. Stackhouse on Friday led Mark to put together a very quick draft version of a policy that could be something that brings all of this together for now. Mark, take it away.
Great. So as I mentioned, we're going to talk about two different streams. We can define what those streams are. So it's like straight up standard housing. Basically, mostly it's going to be just single units, whether they're like garden suites, living suites for rental, or just someone building their own home for themselves. So it's single units, largely possibly a duplex or something. Small stuff that under we're going to say under four units or less on a property, smaller projects. Okay? And then major housing that we're going to call five units or more on a property. Without getting into detail again, not only is there all those targets, but there's micro levels of those targets in that house from dealing with CMHC2. Right? It's a specific targets with major projects, small projects. So it's all, so that's where the five came from, right? Because that puts projects into a different count, right? For that target with CMHC. Anyway, the small unit, what we can say, we're talking about simplicity, right? We had a number of different responses to the surveys. Conversations, right? Oh, somebody could help with permit, a fee, waiving a tipping fee, waiving this, waiving that.
Lot connections,
power poles, whatever it may be. We're going to say who really cares, like, to a certain extent, exactly what they, because each project is going to have its own little costs, right? It's all going to be different. If you just say, here's $40,000 is the grant to get you over this high construction cost, we don't mind if you're spending on a power pole, a fee, a permit. Right, it's just whatever you need for your particular project, $40,000. Right, let's not worry about the municipality deciding exactly what they can spend that $40,000 on, as long as they get to the end of their construction, right, which is going to be a condition to get the full money, mm-hmm. right? They're not going to get it just because they got the permit, right? They are going to give them a little bit at the start, and then like the most, you're not going to get their full amount until they actually get occupancy, is what we would say. And then major projects. So that's like, so straight up, nice and simple, right? Like it's flexible because they can use it for what they want to use it for and to help their project go ahead. Major projects, we've suggested, essentially negotiating a package with major proponents, right? Like, so write a policy that gives you space and room to include things like potentially donation of municipal land, if you had some that was suitable, potentially property tax waivers for up to 10 years, potentially waiving your development permit fees, potentially soft grants, right, like towards pre-development expenses. One of the things I'll say from a lot of experience, right, the difference between small projects and big projects. Small projects, someone's building their own, the pre-development piece is there, but it's not as difficult, right? Like if you're in part nine, it's building code, often your local contractor or yourself can still kind of like get some designs, get permits. There's not this huge amount of architectural and engineering needs. There is some, but it's not as big, right? Like as, and you're going to your bank, right, to get a mortgage. In the big projects, right, like the complexity of the pre-piece is huge. And it's often the greatest barrier. Whereas getting capital money, if you're building a big project, getting CMHC or big Yukon housing capital money is actually to actually build it is relatively easy compared to getting the pre-developed. So the big way you can have a big impact in this part of money like this is in the pre-stage, when that we're talking about like, getting through all the geotechnical studies, environmental studies, engineering studies to hook up to your sewer pipes, engineering for like trying to figure out what the water and all of these pieces, right, that need to be done before you can even get to a building permit, right? Like getting to a building permit on a 32-unit project, you can spend, you can spend $750,000 to $1 million before you're in a permit. Right, like it's a lot of money, right? And there's almost no funding, so it's like targeting money more flexibly to that pre-development stage to help these big projects get to there. And then the others, I think for little projects, it works well to just give straight cash towards the actual buying of building costs. So those are the two slightly different principles, but we would encourage you to write policy for big projects that gives you a lot of room to potentially then negotiate something with a proponent that works for them. So don't hem yourself in too much on the policy piece. Negotiate it, whatever, find a package, still comes back to council, pass a bylaw, move ahead with help. As we say, do you want to talk about those dates there? Because those are helpful. That, or I'll talk about it. All right. There will be two dates that would be really important, right? So because you have this sort of mutual interest of proponents, whether big or small, and getting permit, there's a clear reality, the more permits get through, the more funding you will get over the next 2 years. But you don't want to be giving out money and then they don't get to their permits, so you don't get, et cetera, right? Like, so we do need to tie, right, the policy and the incentives to them actually getting their permits and actually getting their buildings done, right? Like, so that must be in there. It's not just going to be, right? So there will be deadlines, right? Like, and from advice, I think some active monitoring of what is going on with these proponents, right? Like speaking again a little bit, listening to Jane talk about, if you don't have a lot of builders in this or any in the community, general contractors to go to, people can get stalled really quickly. So that's the nice thing in other places. You want to start, you've got that problem, you don't know what's going on, you just go and talk to Joe, or you go and talk to Jim, or you go and talk to Brian, or you go and talk to Jane, right? Like, and something, they just help you through the whole process. You don't have that person here. So mm-hmm. I think a little bit of sort of monitoring, technical capacity help to help these proponents move forward. Like even the way they're just like, okay, you're approved and walk away. I think again, we might all come back in 18 months and find none of them gone anywhere. You can't get your funding, they don't get it. So a very sort of actively monitored with some deadlines and stuff like that for people to meet as their project. Be flexible, understand the realities they might have of why they're, right, but a bit of that help would be, I think, a good idea along the way.
Yeah, not just cash, but support.
Yeah,
a little bit of support. Yeah. So, all right. So, with that, the needing to thread the needle, shall we say, between the half funding requirements and what CMHC is going to require from the village, and
the desire to get building permits as first priority, and then the follow through to actually have housing units to show for all of this. What I think we're proposing is that the building permits would need to be received by December 31st, 2026. The final accounting of building permits would happen about a month after that. So that will be basically the gate closing. CMHC will not look at any more building permits provided after the end of 2026. So the building permits would have to be received by then. And then we're proposing that the developments would need to be complete by about a year later, the end of November 2027. The key part of this is under your contribution agreement, the village is obligated to spend the last of its half money on its fourth anniversary date. So that means January 8th, I believe, 2020. So you would need to make sure that the final disbursements are going out to the incentives receivers, recipients, you know, a month to 6 weeks prior to that, so that you're clear of your half money. So those are two key deadlines. Obviously, conformance with the OCP zoning bylaw. Watson Lake, Jordan's been very generous passing along the work that Watson Lake has done, the policy. I think we would just adopt a lot of that common sense, good policy work to this, you know, and use it for renovations. It's got to be creative, you know, creating new housing. You can't apply for labor costs for work done by the property owner, things like that, that are, you know, you will often see in projects of this nature, programs of this nature. And then, of course, funding is contingent on photos, cost breakdown, maybe site inspections, however we want to do that. But, and another detail, I believe this came from Ultimate Partly, was the no short-term rentals.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen several of them.
I've seen several. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. So there's lots of details that Mark kind of left open for now in terms of, say, how much would a person get at the start versus what would the final payment be? You know, is it you get 75% of the incentive? So some of those details definitely can be fine-tuned, and you probably don't want to bog you down with that level of detail tonight. I think what we're looking for guidance from you on is generally, does this sound like we're on the right track? Putting together a draft policy that basically gets incentives happening for individual property owners, straightforward cash incentives, while allowing Mark and I and yourselves to continue to work with these larger projects that have these evolving, not quite understood needs yet. Yeah, thoughts and advice or direction from the council on where we're going with this so far.
I like the way that's going, and those next steps are crucial to like completing this whole half funding. So thank you. Now it's a lot of information. We can share more of that information as you get it.
Okay.
And we'll have more discussion on that.
Right.
With the books, thank you to Jordan Watson Lake.
Really helping.
It's a good team.
The fast tracking work. Courtesy Watson Lake and Jordan's.
Thank you.
Okay, well, then, in terms of next steps, maybe we continue to sort of follow the direction that we think is most prudent and strategic for you as the village. And knowing that we want to try to roll this out as quickly as possible, what's the next logical milestone? If there's a draft policy for council to review by, is it July 8th is sort of the next?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the next committee of the whole? Right. Or sorry, regular council meeting.
Yes.
Okay. So July 8th. So we will have something to you.
Yeah.
And we will also accompany that, I think,
maybe provide you with a little bit of context for what it might all mean in terms of how much half money has been spent already.
Yes.
How much there might be to put towards incentives. Maybe we can break out a few scenarios that way so you understand maybe what
that'd be great.
What you're willing to commit to this.
Thank you.
Awesome. Any questions before we head out? Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks very much, Jane.
Thank you. All right. Lovely to see
that. Yeah, it sure is.
The secret of all
is a sunny day.
What's the word?
So Frank did mention today it's been a bit of a wild week for the RCMPs. They've had a lot of calls, more than average. So that might be way
send us the regrets.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mueller.
Yeah.
Yeah, take care.
Bye bye.
So yeah, RCMP send their regrets, as Councillor Wheeler mentioned, that they've
had quite a few calls this week, so
experiencing some high call volumes. So I'd like to welcome Arbor from Community Affairs. Welcome, Arbor.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm thrilled to be here in person. Instead of on a screen.
Yes.
So thank you for having us. I only have a few updates to share. Community services going tonight. So not too much. First, I just want to highlight our elected officials training. An invitation would have gone out for a lunch and learn last week or so. I know lots of you are busy. I just wanted to send a reminder. This is delivered by NAMS Canada. So this is the National Asset Management System Canada, the NGO national representative of that. So it's about a 45-minute presentation for elected officials of all backgrounds and experience in asset management, primarily to discuss the basics, what it is, why it matters, the importance of having a role of sort of stewardship in local government, and delivering effective services. So the need also to integrate asset management and strategic planning is a focus of this training, just some heightened awareness on those priorities and how asset management supports informed decision making. So if this is of interest, I encourage you to sign up if you can. And if there's further interest in digging a bit deeper, we can offer more focused on more specific community training that's more mixed.
What time does that start?
It's at noon.
Tomorrow.
I'm signed up for that.
Okay. If you can make it, and then there could be more in the future. So if you're interested, but you'd like to do it another time, just let me know. You can help yourself. Look forward to seeing you. The other thing I'd like to highlight is our Sustainable Communities Forum. Community Affairs coordinates these about twice a year. Generally, we invite administration staff members from municipalities and First Nation governments to attend in Whitehorse. So this year it's October 7th and 8th. And it's an opportunity to gather and learn from experts in the field focusing on climate resilience and asset management again. So this theme this year, this fall, is flood mitigation. And incorporated and woven through that is a focus on climate resilience and asset management. So we've extended some invitations and we'll be reaching out anyone who's working kind of closely at asset management, people will encourage to attend the staff level. And then finally, we're fortunate to have AYC here. It's relevant. We'd like to highlight a Municipal Act Review Committee. So this is in response to a 2023 resolution by AYC to initiate a comprehensive joint review of the Municipal Act. So Community Affairs and AYC will be working together to finalize terms of reference for a Municipal Act Review Committee.
Is it a full review or targeted?
So right now the government doesn't have a mandate to revise the act. So the purpose of this committee will be to help inform and shape the direction of what future legislation will look like. So facilitating discussion among stakeholders and then identifying the key issues, any queries, potential options and solutions to develop a report findings be carried forward. So it's not quite clear right now, as far as I understand, And my understanding is AYC will connect with municipalities to identify anyone interested in participating on the committee. It's generally best suited to staff, CAO level, or anyone else working with the Act closely. More to come. That's all I have for now.
Thank you.
Do you have other questions on that? Hope is any answer.
Is that tomorrow there's training?
There's a meeting.
I'll let you learn.
It's about 45 minutes.
Zoom.
You can get it on your phone. Well, you fill up buttholes.
It's after the day I had him wait. He's one of those $700 I have.
Oh, it's I can send the link again, just in case.
We're both through computer. You lost me.
Okay, just come here and pencil.
Yeah.
Push the button for you.
Any other questions
here
for Herbert?
I just need to learn.
Thank you,
Herbert. Thank you, Herbert. So off topic, UConn Learn actually will come to the community and help out with like technical things, like minor technical things, even checking emails, how to set attachments and stuff. We can get you in touch with them. Yeah.
Okay, moving on for correspondence, 5.1, Environmental and Climate Change Canada. This is a letter that was from the package. For your review. So, anybody have any questions on this review?
No questions.
Okay.
Thanks, Gary. Looks like all the birds are even moving to the Yukon.
Okay. Moving forward, 5.2, product care stewardship plan for public consultation. This is a Yukon hazard and special products, extended product responsibility stewardship plan. So, does anybody have any questions on this? Not seeing any. Move on to council reports. Council activity reports. Councillor Hanson.
I have nothing to report.
Thank you. Councillor Mitchell.
I attended the meeting with the two that were just here.
The half funding CMHC, Jane, Mark.
Yeah, I hope we hit our target. Yeah, that's all I got.
Councillor Wheeler.
I received a message from Stuart Harris, who said he sent me a letter to my council email, which was not there. He said he sent it to everybody. So I said I'd bring it up because I didn't see it. Regarding the consultation on the traffic bylaw. He is greatly concerned about council and council doing public consultations on past bylaws. He's feeling ignored by council and he'd like to have a discussion, but is unable to come to a meeting, just wants to be able to talk to some of us one-on-one. But actually, I think it was helpful just to have him feel listened to, like just even responding to his message. I think he felt a lot better. But myself, I still feel like I'm not even really part of the Village of CarMax. Like, I don't know what's going on half the time. We're working on past council's plans. We've been in council for 8 months now. I'm like, we need to figure out what we're doing as a whole moving forward. I know I've said that a few times. Like, the previous CAO's 90-day plan was more than 90 days ago. We've got a new CAO. We need to figure out how we all work together with her and our own priorities and what we hear in the community. And we need to not be scared to talk to people, and because that's who we're working for. We're working for the citizens of CarMax. Because honestly, this is a great group. And I felt that when we got elected. And I'm like, we could do so much, but it feels like we're not really doing it. Like, we're not doing anything. Like, we're not, yeah, I don't know how to express it, but I don't feel like we're just okaying past plans, okaying past things, instead of moving forward and building on things together, which we really could be great. So that's my report.
Thank you, Kelsey. Council Bella.
I apologize for missing the meeting the last time. I'll just give a brief report on my attendance at FCM. So it was a good FCM, not the best one I've been to, but it was not bad. Did attend several sessions as we normally do. The best one was the relationship building with Aboriginal communities and stuff. Although, of course, it's geared to south of 60 communities. There was some interesting things. The other great one I went to was the, I can't remember the name. I don't know if it was the Northern and Remote. It was like that caucus that we went to. It wasn't part of the FCM, but it was an additional
visit.
Yeah. So that was really good. And it was great to hear. I was actually really impressed to hear that most of the members from NWT speaking in their language and having it actually translated to English. That was super great. I don't bring back a lot of swag from FCM. I did leave my email in a few places, but the one thing that I did bring back that I thought was relevant to the things we're doing was this pamphlet from Traffic Logics. So they do the speed signs, the flashy, you're going too fast speed signs. But in this pamphlet, it talks about when you're going to be changing speeds and things that you should look at in communities. It's really useful information, and I thought it was really great, and that we could gain some clarity on what we were doing and going forward. If we decide to make any differences in our traffic bylaw, this would be useful to use as data as backup for why we're choosing to make changes. And also it says that in the Yukon, Traffic Logics does do, they do have some of the signs, some of their signs in the Yukon, this company, I guess, radar signs. And they are collecting data in the Yukon already on what's happening. And so I brought that back for anybody's interest. It's really good, actually a little template. I didn't have a lot of other council interactions. I did also, was also being messaged with Mr. Harris and pointed him in the direction of the CAO's email in order to get his, if he wanted to get his letter on his correspondence in the council package at a future date, and told him the best place to start would be to send it to the CAO.
Thank you.
Okay.
My report here, there was an announcement for the $38 million federal funding for improvement of infrastructure on flood mitigation in CarMax. Looking forward on this announcement for public engagement, and also in a joint meeting with LSCFN and YTG on this funding. I did have a question about the funding as to flood mitigation options 1 and 2 for you, Chantel. I did look through the previous minutes, and I know that those options were stated in there, but we'd just like to clarify on the position of the village on what those actually are, or if they're going to be brought forward, if that's the only options. Did you want
to? Yeah, sure. So I did have the opportunity to look at the plan, I guess I get what it's called, that was done by Stantec, which fed this application for the funding. Disaster mitigation plan, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? At work, it would be great if we could circulate it again to council to have another look at it, if you guys, from, I don't know how long ago it was actually done, I did notice one thing though that I hadn't thought of before I talked to you about it before, was that there's a piece of the community that was completely missed in the flood mitigation, and wanted to know if we could have an opportunity to make comments on that plan, even though it's already done. I think it's just corporate history or whatever that that maybe it was missed, and but it is a vulnerable part of the community. So that's at the end of Ptarmigan Road or whatever it's called. It's completely not in there as a place that's potential for flooding.
And it wasn't a war.
And it has flooded in the past, yeah. We've sandbagged down there in the past.
Thank
you. Just from that.
Yeah.
The NAMS, the Community Affairs meeting tomorrow. It's a lunch and learn. Attending the Trails Canada celebrations, planted flowers. I got to talk to some citizens, some volunteers. I wanted to thank them for all the work that they did down there by the boardwalk. In celebration of Trails Canada. Thank you, Trails Canada, for the donations of the flowers. I've also been coaching Little League Baseball here on Tuesdays. It's great to see the youth having fun together, also seeing how the team works together and encouraging others to work together. I'd like to thank George Skookum and Tristan Undershoot for all those things that they do with the youth as well. Attending FCM conference, it was great to engage with others of the northern communities, as well as being there with Councillor Elmore. Sorry. It was great to share some of the issues and celebrations that the northern community shared together as a whole. It's pretty much all I got from that. Attending a public session on development incentives with the Half Fund and CMHD with Jane and Mark. So listening to citizens and community developers on what those initiatives look like and how that's evolving and moving forward to kind of putting those initiatives in place. Attending today, the balanced biogas and the recycling on how all that ties into the development of our solid waste management facility. It's good to see some people there. I would like to see more community engagement on that part. It was only a handful of people. And I think it's a real opportunity for CarMax to represent what that solid waste looks like in renewable resources.
Probably just bad timing today.
Well, I think when the Hooter comes out, we'll have better people say more.
Also been helping with the pool operations in relation to chemical dispensing and what those numbers look like. I know it's overwhelming when it comes to opening a pool as a level one operator. I like to help other colleagues. It's nice to ask and just reassure that, you know, what we're doing for community safety as in chemicals in the pool are done in a proper manner. So yeah, I'd like to thank those guys for reaching out. Most recently, I attended a ceremony for a Long Life Service Award for Ranger Rick Newell. He received his fifth bar of a Canadian Forces decoration for 62 years of service with the CAF. Rick is only one of five people and the only Canadian still active to receive this award. I just like to make point of that. It's a great achievement, and he's a true inspiration to all Yukoners. That's the end of my report.
Thank you.
Recreation report. Did you want us to fund recreation or anything? Does anybody have any questions on the recreation report from Chanel?
I do, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a couple of comments. One was a question. So on page one, under number two, booking and facility use, it says, as directed by council, we've implemented the closure of the fitness room during gymnasium rentals. And I'm curious when council directed that. I don't recall having the discussion at this council. I don't know if it was a previous council or not, because I think that I would have not agreed with it, but and would like to bring that up for some discussion at a future council meeting about closing, because I feel like The recreation center is for recreational users, and if we're closing it so we can rent the gymnasium for meetings, we're going against what the purpose of the recreation center is for. And if we're having patrons complain and push back about the closure of the fitness room, it's problematic. And also that the fitness room is likely the only revenue generating piece of any kind of recreation facility that anybody owns anywhere ever, that closing it seems to be counterintuitive to renting another space on an ad hoc basis. And my other comment was about the concession update. So requests for healthier food options. Definitely, I've been a person who has been mentioning that it would be nice to see healthier food options at the concession. We did eat many times at the concession last year during hockey. I thought it was great to have that available. But I don't feel like the potential of needing to have a whole nother person to operate it is, it would be useful for the village, but that's a discussion item later, I suppose.
Those are comments. Anybody else have any questions? Rick, if you want to report for Chanel.
I just have a comment. I recall us talking about the noise from the gym at events.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can think of some kind of a wall.
Yeah, so Chantal is working with Chanel on what that all looks like. So
yeah.
Thank you. Okay, moving on here. CAO report. Chantal.
It's a lot. My report of June 17th, I'll just go through the highlights. We don't have a date yet for the grand opening for the pool. One of the pieces for the filtration system, UV system, the little glass of the UV filtration system broke upon shipping. So they have to ship up that piece before it can actually be finished. They're hoping to get it pure later to air. It's on its way, hopefully tomorrow or the next day. Once we can get that filtration and UV system up and running, we can test the water, which is in 48 hours, and Christopher Kenny from Environmental Health will come and just double check, make sure everything is good, look at our water testing, and then we can soft open and then have a grand plan of grand where the mayor will blow whistle and everyone can jump in. It'll be locked up. Trail Bay, I was June 7th. I was reported that approximately 12 people on and off coming and going attended. We have a fantastic drone footage on our Facebook page of that day, which is kind of really nice. You can take a look at that. Stormwater upgrades, still waiting for the filter caps on storm drains. Not sure when that's coming. Heritage buildings, no updates on that report. The cemetery, still waiting for the archaeologist student to come up. I already reported the public works bathrooms are at Murph 2 Park. Lagoon is being looked at by LSCFN. They had some site-specific questions for YG project managers. New fire hall, the generator current, we're just waiting for that last piece. We'll be completely done. Recreation. So the elevator had some pooling of water underneath the elevator. We have finally was able to get an electrician and the elevator repair gentleman to coordinate their time together. So they're going to come and fix that. We just had another roofing company come on Monday, yesterday, to look at the roof up top here so we can get those quotes formulated together with Public Works to make a recommendation. Landfill scale tender is now closing June 30th for that project. June 17th was Jonathan Balanced Biogas. I hope he had more people show up after we left. YG for the Public Works compound building will put together a package for Mayor and Council to present soon. The greenhouse has been moved from the Northwest Tunnel property to the arena wall, and CRRC will start their programming for greenhouses soon. And other than that, Jane and Mark presented today. And just a few little, one other highlight, the community investment grant bylaw. So between Ned and I, we contacted the communities and we confirmed CarMax 0.2%, Mayo is 0.2%, Tesla has a sliding scale, Faro Dawson City, Haynes Junction, Watson Lake don't have that extra community grant. That's that little bit of grant money that comes off your property taxes after the YG. You get that because you're living in your residence, that grant, and then you can get a little bit more from the Village of CarMax. And that is all I have to report.
Does anybody have any questions for Chantel on her report?
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Chantel.
Thank you for having the written report. Thank you for the written report.
Oh, welcome.
Association of Yukon Communities, Tara, and, well, Doris, President Hanchar. Yeah. Any updates from
I haven't.
What we heard today?
No.
So we're here today, and we're excited to have our quarterly board meeting here in CarMax.
Yes,
September. I mentioned that earlier. So
that's right.
And there's
looking forward to that.
There is some communications letters as well in the package.
Yeah. So, Honorable Minister of Environmental sent to Minister Clark.
So when, if you do get responses, will we get copies of the responses as well from the various ministers, I guess?
Yeah, there's a Minister Clark and Minister McPhee.
And Mostyn.
And Mostyn.
But I'm really happy to see that Peter Johnson finally. Because the first meeting I had with him, he wasn't taking AYC very seriously, and it didn't feel great. So this is nice to see, because it was not a great first meeting.
Yeah, it definitely is good to see joint letters.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to bylaws, not seeing in any. Doing unfinished business. None. Question period. Open floor. Do you have anybody on board? No. Not seeing any. Motion for adjournment.
How much to adjourn?
Stay in now.
All right.
We have one camera today.
One.
Oh. I had a question for you, Travis.